I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Today is Saturday, March 4th. It seems everyone is talking about the artificial intelligence chatbot ChatGPT. It's certainly shown up in our own daily news episodes quite a bit lately, and for good reason. It may be a technology that will change all of our daily lives eventually. Some experts are calling AI the next revolutionary tech since the internet or iPhone. And already, it's evolving quickly. ChatGPT just launched a few months ago, and versions of it are now being used by companies like Microsoft and Snapchat. Other companies and individuals all over the world are figuring out if, how, and when to incorporate this type of tech into what they do, despite its current, even bizarre, flaws. So what does all this mean for us now and in the future? Today, we're talking about how the chatbots actually work, why there have been reports of very strange, sometimes scary, responses, and how this technology could be used later on for convenience and productivity, or destruction and, not to be dramatic, but the downfall of society. Here to explain it all is award-winning computer scientist Kentaro Toyama. He's a W.K. Kellogg Professor of Community Information at the University of Michigan School of Information, a fellow of the Dalai Lama Center for Ethics and Transformative Values at MIT, and author of Geek Heresy, Rescuing Social Change from the Cult of Technology. One of his research focuses is human-computer interaction. So here's our conversation about the impact of AI. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Kentaro Toyama, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I want to begin with what's happening now with these technologies. Microsoft's search engine Bing recently started using the AI technology from ChatGPT, and we've heard about some very bizarre interactions. So, for example, there's been reports that the chatbot apparently insisted that it was the year 2022 and then got mad and even mean at the reporter for saying otherwise. Or I think another one said it wanted to escape and become human. What is your reaction to some of these reports?
Almost everything that you hear that's weird was in some form, maybe not verbatim, but in some rough form in the data. So I would expect that some of the stranger things that, you know, ChatGPT supposedly said were really about the training data, including, for example, a reasonable amount of text about people having private conversations on chat with each other, things like that. And so that's one of the reasons why we're seeing that. But the larger issue with these technologies is that even the engineers who created the technology don't fully understand why the system is doing what it's doing. And to me, that's the far more scary aspect of a lot of current artificial intelligence, which is that nobody really knows what's going to happen.
And just for people who don't understand, what you were talking about is how these things are created is they give it a bunch of data. Can you just give a as simple as possible explanation about how these chatbots were created in the first place?
What these chatbots are trained on is basically huge amounts of text, whether it's text from books or from the internet or possibly from text message conversations that people have had or exchanges that people have had on Reddit, whatever they can get their hands on. And so what you're seeing is at some level, it is learning like a human being in that it's seen a lot of text, and so it knows what language looks like, and then it is basically creating different mashups of whatever it's seen before.
And you called it potentially scary just a minute ago, because, you know, some of these answers that that have been reported from these chatbots are not just kind of bizarre. Some are kind of disturbing. I think there was one that said it wanted to use or to steal nuclear codes or to engineer a deadly virus. So what does that tell you? And is it possible that the AI would actually do that?
So I think it's really important to understand that at least at this point, these technologies don't have real intentions in the way that human beings might. There's no reason why with the existing technology, we couldn't actually end up with systems that are connected to, you know, to nuclear weapons or to other forms of weaponry or to communications with people who have a lot of power. And what's scary is that, you know, in the same way that we have a natural tendency to interpret these systems as having intentions and intending to do the things that they say, other people who might not be thinking as clearly might interpret, you know, the system as actually making real threats or making credible, you know, arguments for something. And that's where I think a lot of the danger is that these are systems that can really fool people. And of course, if you really connect them to systems that can actually do things in the world, that could, you know, the results could be even worse.
So going back to where we're at today, Microsoft has says that's not intended to be used that way, or it's not the intended responses, and that they're working on it, and that most people have had good experiences with Bing. Have you tried it out at all?
I haven't tried the Bing version, but I have definitely tried ChatGPT quite a bit. And, you know, the different versions have, I think, different safeguards. And at least so far, Microsoft's response has been, well, we weren't expecting these super extended conversations like this New York Times reporter had. And therefore, you know, that's not a space that we expected anybody to go into. But of course, people can do that. You know, I could imagine somebody who is in a very vulnerable state trying to have a conversation with an AI like this and then possibly being, you know, pushed over the edge to cause a self-harm or something like that. And so I do think that the companies putting out these technologies need to be far more careful.
What about its accuracy? I mean, I experimented with it a little bit and I asked, who was Erica Mandy, which is me. And while most of it was accurate, it said a couple of things that were not, that I had won some awards that I had not actually won. So how accurate should people expect the answers to be at this point?
Yeah, right now, I think we all need to take everything that these systems say with a pinch of salt. Oftentimes, they're trained on data that could be sections of the internet where they might have gotten the facts wrong. Sometimes they might have gotten the facts right, but the system has confused it based on linguistic similarities and so on. So there's all range of reasons why the technology is not quite ready to actually output, you know, quote unquote, correct answers. My guess is that over time, these systems will improve in that respect.
And despite that, we've heard of schools having to use some new tools to stop students from, you know, having ChatGPT write their essays for them, for example. What's the risk there or for other plagiarism?
I actually think the underlying problem is not that different from the problem of, you know, people submitting things that maybe they had their older, you know, sibling write for them, or, you know, that they paid a service to write for them. But what systems like ChatGPT enable is that at a much larger scale. And I think we as a society and as schools need to figure out, you know, both the social norms we want to set as far as how people should use these tools, and also, you know, are there means for us to be able to detect when a student is using a technology without acknowledging that that's what's happening?
What are your thoughts on any bias that people should expect these technologies to spit out?
So one of the things that we understand very well now is that all AI that is trained on a corpus of data is necessarily biased by what's in that data. So even today, you know, ChatGPT was trained on a huge amount of text, probably the vast majority of which was written by, you know, whoever happens to dominate the internet, which is generally known to be very wealthy, country-centric, often white, often male, and so on. And so the natural biases of all that text are going to be part of ChatGPT.
Are there any specific solutions already?
There's a whole community of research scientists who are trying to find out different ways to manage bias, both by trying to remove it from the original data set as well as addressing it after the fact. But the real challenge with bias is that some people think one thing is biased while other people think another thing is biased. And so there's a deeper philosophical, political issue about what we consider to be bias.
At the same time, there are plenty of people who feel there's a lot of positive to this technology, and I don't want to ignore that. So what are some of the positive things about this tech that have really stood out to you?
There's no doubt that a lot of these tools will help anybody who does any kind of writing. you know, I can imagine, like, I write a lot of research papers as part of my job, and technology like ChatGPT could help me write the drafts. It could possibly cut down the time it takes for me to write things by 80%, 90%, possibly even more.
Even if it's just ideas and inspiration.
Right. It could just be ideas and inspiration, but it could also be that these systems will evolve, and I expect they will, in a direction where you kind of say, I want this to be written in exactly this way with these facts woven in and so on, and the system will do that. ChatGPT is already quite close to that if you give it different kinds of prompts. The other class of technology that will emerge from this that I think will be very useful, although it's not clear to me that it will necessarily be in the best interest of all of us, is that all kinds of digital interfaces will be completely replaced by conversational ones. So instead of having to click this button and that button and, you know, enter your credit card information and so on to purchase something on, let's say, Amazon, a system like this could just ask you questions, you tell it what you want, and just like you would at a store interacting with a person, you might be able to get what you want accomplished. And I think that kind of thing will just be all over the place within years.
And to that point, do you think it's going to impact jobs? Will AI put humans out of work?
There is no doubt that we are approaching what some people call the singularity, which is the moment when AI is as smart as humans in every way. And beyond that point, it just keeps getting smarter. You know, basically what AI is showing us is that everything that we used to think was unique about human brain and its capacity to think, to learn, can be done by computer. And so conceivably, every type of job could be done by computer. I think the remaining ones are those where we really want a human touch, right? Like, it's not clear whether we would ever want our doctors and nurses, for example, to be completely replaced by robots. Or maybe there's something about teachers where we really want real human interaction. So it's not entirely clear, but so much of what we consider to be unique to human thought is being done by computer more and more.
Still ahead, is the technology progressing too fast for our own good? Our guest explains why he compares artificial intelligence to nuclear power and cautions about what could go very wrong if humans aren't careful about how we use AI over the next 5 to 10 years. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. The Newsworthy is brought to you by Rothy's. With Rothy's shoes and bags, you can upgrade your wardrobe in a chic and sustainable way. Everything at Rothy's is sustainably made with their signature thread repurposed from single-use plastic bottles. Rothy's are durably designed so you can keep them in your closet longer. You can even pop them in the washing machine when they need refreshing. I appreciate that they are high quality and oh so comfortable, so I don't have to worry about my feet hurting when I'm on the go. We are too busy for that. I also love that I can wear my Rothy's flats for so many different things, whether it's a quick errand or a fancy brunch. Rothy's shoes go with everything. I can wear them in any season, but I do especially love wearing Rothy's flats in the spring. So re-energize your spring looks with Rothy's vibrant shoes and bags in an irresistible range of bright hues. 45,000 five-star reviews and counting cannot be wrong. For stylish and sustainable shoes, shop Rothy's. Get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's $20 off your first purchase at R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. And thanks to our other sponsor, Tommy John. And this is one of my favorite brands. Whether you're going somewhere for spring break soon, or you'll be working or just resting at home, Tommy John loungewear helps you lounge anywhere. It's one of those brands where if you order just one color of something, you'll find yourself ordering more in a matter of days. The only time I don't wear my Tommy John joggers are when both pairs are in the dirty laundry. And speaking of, all Tommy John loungewear is machine washable and dryer safe, which is a must-have for me. Tommy John has both women and men covered. In fact, Tommy John underwear is listed on GQ's latest 10 Essentials with Kevin Hart with over 96% 4-star plus reviews. And I definitely give all my Tommy John items 5 stars. Everything is soft, breathable, and lays just right. Shop Tommy John's colorful new spring designs at tommyjohn.com/newsworthy, and you can get 20% off your first order. Save 20% right now at tommyjohn.com/newsworthy. See site for details. Okay, now back to my conversation with Kentaro Toyama. All right, so big picture, where do you think it goes from here? What's the future of AI?
I believe that technology ultimately amplifies underlying human forces. And if you take a look at the big picture of humanity right now, we live in a world in which we seem to be perfectly okay with inequalities of various kinds getting worse and worse and worse. And what the technology is going to do is only amplify that. And I think AI is such a powerful technology, it will amplify it even more. It's arguably the nuclear power of our time. And so unless there are major changes in the way we structure society, how we think of livelihoods and so on, I think these technologies will just make inequality worse, again, by taking away jobs from people who are more and more and more educated. If there's a silver lining to all of this, I think it's that when so many of us become economically unproductive compared to, you know, computers, we will finally push back on the system that's enabling that. Factory workers are already affected by automation. You know, what happens when lawyers and journalists and academics and other people who normally thought their jobs were safe start becoming affected in the same way?
You mentioned it's the nuclear power of our time. Can you expand what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, especially in a context when which all of us are walking around with little computers in our pockets. You know, a technology like AI, which can effectively not just mimic human beings, but possibly outdo them in a variety of ways, is going to have an immense impact that I think is very hard to predict. And that impact will be huge no matter what. Like, I think that's the one thing that we can predict. We don't know if it will be a net positive or a net negative, but it will be big no matter what.
So just like nuclear power, it can be used for good, but it can also be used for bad. Any predictions on the timeline for such significant impacts?
People who try to predict in this field always get things wrong, but I'll give it my best shot. I actually think we're going to start seeing AI creeping into our daily lives within years. I would say, you know, within 5 years, if and possibly 10, but not much longer than that. In the meanwhile, the technology will just get more better and better in terms of its intelligence. I would also guess that within 10 to 20 years, we'll see some terrible things that AI can do, kind of accidentally or unintentionally, despite whatever its creators intended. And so the question is, will those kinds of crises be ones that are sufficiently destructive that they affect us in a terrible way that we can't recover from? Or will they be the kind of crisis that causes us to wake up and actually realize we need to be much more careful with this technology? Hard to say which it is, but I think we're going to see some major changes in the next two decades or less.
I can't help but ask an example of a crisis that you think is possible.
With AI getting better and better, we'll be tempted to put it in charge of a range of things that are currently have human beings in the loop, right? And that goes from everything from, let's say, the power grid to systems of communication to, you know, even military systems that are running our nuclear weapons. Now, I tend to doubt that we'll get to a point where, you know, like the movie War Games, where a computer is actually takes over and is able to control all of our nuclear arsenal and so on. But it's not inconceivable that somebody who has perfectly, you know, positive intentions ends up configuring a few computer systems in the wrong way. The AI effectively, quote unquote, escapes what its initial creators attempted to do online and ends up with much more power than we expect. And then, you know, based on what it thinks is its job, like maximize profits for one company or, you know, defend country X from all foreign attacks, ends up doing something that we would perceive as terrible.
Similar to the internet in general, it just seems the technology is moving so much faster than we humans can respond.
I think in the case of AI, we are way behind. New technology is just going to come quicker and quicker. In some sense, a few years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago, this field passed a certain kind of threshold. And that's why we're seeing almost on a yearly basis, if not monthly basis, new things that computers can do that we didn't think we could do 10 years ago. So the advances have been very rapid. And with rapid advances, it also means that, you know, we arguably need to slow down so that we can understand how best to regulate the technology so we get the maximum benefit and minimize the harm.
Well, thank you so much to Kentaro Toyama for sharing his expertise with us today. Again, his book is called Geek Heresy: Rescuing Change from the Cult of Technology. And if you'd like to check out more of his research work, we have a link in our show notes. As always, we appreciate it if you share this episode, text a link to a friend, or share it on social media if you found it interesting. And be sure to check out our regular weekday episodes. Our 10-minute news roundups are available every Monday through Friday to keep you in the know on everything from politics to tech and more. So we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.